We turn in the Word of God to Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, and from verse 14. We'll read verse 14 to 17 for now. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. Amen. Thus far we read the Word of God. The theme this evening from this part of God's Word can be summed up in one word: onward. Onward. One of the hardest lessons for many young Christians is the realization that what now seems obvious to them, because they have been born of the Spirit, does not seem at all obvious to the unbelievers around him. In early days, a Christian can see because the Spirit of God has renewed his heart. But he finds it puzzling that others do not see what is now so obvious to him. In other words, there is a lack of realism about what the Bible says about the carnal mind being enmity with God. And because the ungodly, the unbelieving, finds the gospel repellent, he finds all sorts of reasons to avoid it and to justify the ways of sin and to minimize its dangers. This passage envisages a son who is perhaps soon going to make his own way in this world, and he now has to face that situation, that he is now to stand, as it were, in the midst of a world that will not make it easy to follow the Lord. And our children, sooner or later, will face this world on their own, no longer under our care and jurisdiction and under our roof. And the question is there a work of grace that will sustain them, and will they be kept from conformity to the world? Well, first of all then, robust non-conformity. Robust non-conformity. Verse 14 to 17. Back in verse 13, when speaking about wisdom, it says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. But there are many temptations to do otherwise. The young man in view will face many who are seeking to prevail upon him away from the instruction, the wisdom that he has received from a godly father and in other ways perhaps, and will seek to get him to forget what he has learned of the truth of God's word. Wicked men like to lead novices into more explicit wickedness. There is something about a wicked man, if he is a man of ability, that he wants to lead others into sinful ways. And the admonition is clear. Enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Avoid every occasion of being tempted into the way of sin. It's part of our pride that we think we have everything under control, that some things are so obviously wrong that we could never end up doing them. We do not adequately distrust the deceitfulness of our own hearts. Don't mess about with sinful peer pressure. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Yes, avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Why should you, if your heart is truly set toward the Lord and towards holy living for Him, why should you, as it were, court the occasion of being sucked into the company and ways of the wicked? Avoid the way of wickedness and avoid the entry points to that way. Do not be deceived. There is a camaraderie even among the wicked, for a time at least. That will vanish at some point, if not in this world, then in the world to come, where the wickedness of the heart will be so exposed in hell that there will be no comfort one from another of those who are there. But there is an attractiveness in collective evil doing and a rapport between those who engage in joint sinful enterprise. You must not say, "Oh, I can handle it." Peter thought he could handle many things and he fell. Don't play about with the occasion of sin. When there is an opportunity, and a lawful opportunity, to be out of the way, then do so. Wicked men are described in verse 16 and 17. "For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence." They find working wickedness as natural as eating and drinking, and they don't lose sleep over the wickedness they have done, but over the wickedness they have not done. Unless they have done something wicked, then they can't settle. They're restless about not having sinned enough. Young Christians must be prepared to resist the flattery of wicked men. Don't get involved for the honor of the Lord. Then secondly, the two alternatives, verse 18 and 19. "But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble." The path of the just. The picture is of a dawn, then on to noonday, when the sun is high in the sky. It isn't describing a Christian profession that is simply a flash in the pan. It's describing those who are truly born of the Spirit. They persevere and they grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. In a sense, the description is not spectacular. It's not a meteor that is a big flash and then it's gone. But there is the dawning of true, genuine conversion and faith in Christ, and that the fruit of it grows and grows until there is a good confession and exemplary godliness and holiness. And of course, beyond this world, there is perfection in heaven. Steady increase. Steady progress until the high noon of brilliance. Their lives are as lights in the world, reflecting the light of Christ. Christ is the great sun, the one who shines in the world through his grace in his people, so that men take knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. By contrast, we have the way of the wicked. In verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. The way of the wicked is as darkness. He's also on a path, a way. You see, we're all on one way or the other, the path of the just or the way of the wicked. And only these two are mentioned. If we think we're neutral, you can be sure you're in the path of the wicked, because there is no neutrality. And those who are in the way of life, they know that. And here, the path of the wicked, the way of the wicked is described. They stumble on in the dark, supposedly working things out for themselves, as Satan suggested to Eve and to Adam through her. You shall become as gods, knowing good and evil. Don't take God's word for it. Seek to find out for yourself. Trial and error. But instead of greater light, he ends up in the dark. And yet he prefers the darkness because of the corruption of our whole nature as part of God's judgment on that first transgression of Adam. We'd rather be in the dark than in the light, unless the Lord delivers us and renews our hearts. But just think about that. Men prefer darkness to light because their deeds are evil. And so today, multitudes prefer meaninglessness to true meaning. The Word of God gives meaning to things. The Word of God tells us where we came from. The Word of God explains what life is about and what happens at death. In other words, the Word of God makes sense of everything. But without that, there is nothing that explains anything. But people would rather, man by nature would rather have no answers. Postmodernism, as it's called, the idea that there are no absolutes, there are no final answers, Modernism, science was going to solve everything. It didn't. Postmodernism, well, we don't need answers anyway. But people would rather have no answers than the true ones in the Word of God. And so he stumbles in the dark until he is ruined. Two ways. Only those two alternatives. Every one of us is on one or other of those paths. But then thirdly, keeping the heart. Keeping the heart, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We're to listen. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Don't be too proud to think that no one can teach you, or that the older generation have nothing to impart. Seasoned Christians have a great deal to teach us. But don't just pay lip service. Mind the heart, verse 21. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. The Pharisees learned scripture. The Pharisees could quote scripture. But they were still Pharisees. They were still enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lip service will not do. Scripture in the mind, unapplied, increases guilt. But the question is, this young man who's finding his way in this wilderness of a world, he's heard the word, he's heard it at home, he's heard it, he's said he believes it, but now he's away from home. Mum and dad aren't there. All his colleagues want him to go their way. How will he resist that? How will he say no to that? Because his faith really is in Christ. Because he's been born of the Spirit. And he loves his blessed name. And it's good for you, verse 23. Even in this world, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. For verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Following the Lord, as opposed to sinning against God, all other things being equal, is not even good for us in this life. But the heart is all important. Verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. The heart is all important. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Verse 23. The state of the heart is all important. What's in the heart shows in the life. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Matthew 12 and verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. The state of the heart is all important. My keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What is in the heart comes out. But that's true even when our love to Christ goes stale. What are we not incapable of doing? Even those who are born of the Spirit, if we lose our first love and our love to the Saviour is diluted and half-hearted, how are we going to resist the pull of ungodly companions when the alternative is the somewhat lonely being sneered at, the somewhat lonely existence? Young people away from home, if you do not have a lively communion with Christ in your heart, how will you resist? How will you resist when you feel out on a limb and unbelievers want you to go with them? When you have no great sense of fellowship with Christ and no joy in Him, and when Christian duty has become rather burdensome. That's why the scripture says the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. And it needs to be, in order to resist the crowd, the multitude who go to do evil. We must keep our hearts, a heart for holiness and love to Christ. But then fourthly, no deviation, no deviation. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Bad habits need to be mortified. Verse 24. Put away from thee a froward, a perverse, stubborn and twisted mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Do you know that lying is habitual? Lying is habitual. People get used to lying. Their consciences get deadened to lying. They get into the habit of lying. It troubled them once, but it troubles them less and less. A deceitful mouth must be mortified. God cannot lie. We can. And lying in its very beginnings must be mortified by the grace of Christ. Press toward the mark, verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Look ahead, not at the bypaths on either side. The danger does not lie in the path of the just. That's not where the danger is, but off to the sides. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 and 3. Hebrews 12 and verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Looking unto Jesus, the author, the originator, the one who has gone before, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The joy that was set before him. We too have joy set before us in the promises of God to the people of God. There is promised an everlasting inheritance, the glory of God. We shall behold his face in righteousness and be satisfied with his likeness. We must keep up this lively hope by the word and prayer, and we must nourish our souls in the truth of God. You will not be led astray by looking unto Jesus or considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners. He'll not lead you astray. You'll not go wrong looking unto Jesus. You'll not go wrong seeking his fellowship, his face, his countenance, his ordinances, his people. But if you look to the sides, if you look away from him, that's where the danger lies of going astray from the right path. You need to watch where you're going. Verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet. It's just saying, look where you're walking. Look where you're going. It's madness to walk and not consider where you're walking to. It's as if thoughtlessly, so that you end up lost in some bypath, distracted by some thoughts, and you forget to look where you're going, and then suddenly you realize you're not where you intended to be at all. Christians are not meant to live thoughtless lives. Christians are not meant to live thoughtless lives. As if we just get one or two texts and profess the Lord and then just amble along with no thought, just conforming to the norms around us. That's not the way a Christian should live. We are meant to think. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Hope to the end. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear, in the fear of God, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Devoted to thy fear, seeking to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, reading the word, seeking to understand it so as to live by it, so as to bring our lives into conformity to it. And do not deviate at all, verse 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We're not to do any deals with sin. Our deceitful hearts make us ready to accommodate, as if we can accommodate our favourite sin and it won't have any effect on the rest of our lives. But it does. because sin is sin, and you can't compartmentalize sin. If we do a deal, as it were, in our minds, and say, well, I'll leave this sin untouched, we are completely mistaken if we think we can pursue holiness selectively, because we can't. Because holiness, by definition, means being opposed to sin, because it is sin. And we can't oppose one sin and entertain another, as if consciously trying to limit the scope of holiness in our lives. There are to be no deals, no compromises, no exceptions to the way of the Lord. There is nothing in the world to encourage you in the way of the Lord. Nothing. There's nothing out there outside the people of God that is going to say, yes, you should follow the Lord. Quite the opposite, and much more explicitly so now than in former times. We live in a world that openly opposes the living and true God. Previous generations, no doubt the enmity of the world to God was there and it was real, but it was less explicit. We now live in a generation where there's no mask or pretense. We live in a society that openly and clearly does not want biblical Christianity, and where consciences are hardened and there is no fear of saying so. So what are we going to do? Are we going to conform? Are we going to try to do some deal? No, we must cleave to the Lord. We must remember His word. We must watch the heart against lukewarmness. These are perilous times when many stumble. There are many false professions who go backward and go no more after Christ. And even among the true, there is much lukewarmness, times of backsliding, a desire for a quiet life that prevails over principle all too often. What are we to do? Back from thy way, our heart not turned, our steps no straying made, though us thou breakest in dragon's place and covers with death's shade. That's what we must do. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, we bless and worship thy great and holy name. We thank thee, O Lord our God, that there is mercy with thee and there is grace to help in time of need. We pray that thou wilt enable us to hide this thy word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. Help us in this evil day to cleave to the Lord Jesus Christ, to look to the rock that is higher than we are, and that we might joy in God, by whom we have received the atonement, and that our life being hid with Christ in God, we might mortify the deeds of our members, that we might endure as seeing him who is invisible, and love him and that bond of truth which exists among his people, that we might say in our souls, My goodness extendeth not unto thee, but to the saints on the earth, to the excellent, in whom is all my delight, that we might prize the fellowship of the saints, and be companion of all them that fear thee, that we might treasure the company of those who fear the Lord, and O God, who shall discourage sin. Hear us, O gracious God, bless us in our souls. We thank thee for food and drink, bless our continuing fellowship, that we might encourage one another in the Lord against all discouragement, and that we might bless the Lord who gave us counsel, and that we might magnify thy name, for thou hast looked upon us in our low state, and bestowed such everlasting treasures upon us in Christ Jesus. Hear our prayers and receive us, for Christ's sake. Amen.